And I want to ask you, what area do you need to obey the Lord in? Where is He convicting you today that you have leaned on your own understanding, you have trusted in your own feelings and wisdom and understanding? Whether it's ministry, relationship, work, whatever it is, raising kids, whatever it is.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Marna in Wisconsin. She says, I love your ministry, and we love listening to Greg's teaching. Well, Marna, thank you so much, and it is so encouraging to hear how God is using His Word, and thank you for your encouragement.
The flesh and the spirit. And Greg, we've been observing this struggle throughout the biblical account of the life of Abraham. And we get to see what happened when he was in step with God and what happened when he was out of step with God.
You know, Dave, we've observed this dynamic from the beginning with Adam, and the outcomes are clear and consistent. So with that in mind, let's get to our study. If you have a Bible handy, grab it and turn to Genesis chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 to 21.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. To learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt, our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
And we see a principle in Genesis expounded in Galatians. Get rid of those things that are according to the flesh. Those things that by nature mock faith in Jesus Christ and His promises. Get rid of those. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Brothers and sisters, we are so prone to making decisions by our own wisdom and desire and understanding. And when we do, there will be conflict within and conflict without. Now, we who are following the Lord tend to make these decisions in the sphere of God's will, by the way. They were trying to bring forth an heir. That was what God had said He would do, right? We make them in the sphere of the way we come to church, what we do at church, the churches we choose, the relationships we have, whatever it might be, the job we do, whatever it is. We can be prone to trusting in our own wisdom, ability. We need to confess those things and cast them out. Separate from them. Hack up Agag, as if you know that true story from the Old Testament. Separate from them. Cast out the bondwoman. Cast it out. Don't rely on your own wisdom, strength, and ability to walk with the Lord. Don't do it. Apart from Him, John chapter 15, 4, we can do nothing. 2 Corinthians 3, 5, we are not adequate to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. We need to remind ourselves in every area of our lives, or there will be conflict, there will be trouble. And when we find that we have yielded to these things, we need to let them go and cast them out. And I want to ask you, are there any areas in which you have relied on your own wisdom, understanding, and ability, and not truly trusted and relied in Christ? Things that are of God, even. We need to say no to self and yes to the Lord in the context of obedience to His Word. We need to die to ourselves. Whether it's something you're tempted in now or whether it's something you have yielded to in the past, decisions you have made, we need to break ties with the flesh and the decisions that we made. We need to cast out the bondwoman, and the results may be incredibly painful to do that. You think it was painful for Abraham to see his son go? We're going to see that in a minute. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I need to share a caveat before you might run out and make a foolish decision. I'm not telling you if you made a mistake, for instance, marrying someone, that you go out and cast them out and marry someone else. I'm not saying that. We don't break God's principles to do what God says. The same thing if you had a baby out of wedlock. You don't cast out that baby because of that sin. Cast out your reliance on the flesh. Repudiate what you did and do what is right. And do what is right. This is a unique situation to Abraham and Sarah in the context of the promise. And it is an example that Paul uses in the New Testament for us in regards to relying in the flesh or relying in the spirit. That's the point he's going to make in chapter 5 of Galatians. We need to stop relying on our own flesh, casting those things out and walk by his spirit. Is there any area you need to cast out? The bondwoman, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whatever, you've made a decision to do something by your own wisdom and strength. Cast it out. I have a lot of examples I can share, but I think you have them already in your hearts, because we are all tempted in these areas to trust in our own wisdom, to really truly rely on it rather than what God has said. So how do we deal with our failures or keep from failing? Obviously, we need to understand the flesh and spirit cannot coexist. There's going to be conflict in that. We need to stop relying on the flesh and cast it out. And next, we need to not follow our feelings. I always find people are always saying, well, I feel this or that. No. Don't follow our feelings, but let God's word encourage us to obey. This is an amazing portion back in chapter 21, verse 11. Look at this verse. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. Sarah says, cast out the bondwoman and the son, for he shall not be the heir. Abraham, do it. Right? And the matter distressed. Now, I don't really like this translation of the word distressed here. It's not the best translation in the NSB. You could literally translate this verse this way. And the matter was exceedingly evil in the eyes of Abraham because of his son. Abraham thought what Sarah was suggesting was bad or even evil. That's the word in Hebrew. It's word translated evil. What Sarah is telling me is evil. He was totally against it. Now, certainly he was distressed. That's why they're probably translating it distressed. But some other translations give us a better understanding. It was exceedingly bad or evil in his sight, in his eyes. That was Abraham's first response to her saying, cast out the bondwoman. He wasn't at all believing it was right. He thought it was wrong. And often, sometimes God's word will come along and we will immediately think, that's wrong. I shouldn't do that. And we have our reasons why, but we need to let God correct our hearts and minds with his word. Notice what happens. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed. Or again, this is the same word. Do not let it be evil in your eyes, Abraham. Don't let it be evil. Abraham was completely against this, and God says the same thing that was going on in his life. Don't let it be evil or wrong in your eyes. It's not wrong. It's not evil. Don't let that happen. And we need to let God convict our hearts that way. So many situations where people rely on their own wisdom, and it is wrong. It is wrong. And we have a view that what someone tells us in the Lord is wrong. And God says here to Abraham, do not let it be wrong or evil in your eyes because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. And that means listen with the attentive obeying. For through Isaac your descendants shall be named. The Lord is directly contradicting Abraham's view of the situation. And that's what we need in these situations. When we have relied on our flesh, obviously we think it's the best course of action, by the way. And we need God's word to confront our thinking and show us that it is wrong. And men of faith and women of faith will respond. And Abraham responds. Husbands and young men to be married, as we saw back in Genesis 3 and with Adam and Eve and Genesis 16 with Sarah and Abraham, you should never listen to the voice of your wife when she's asking you to sin. But when she's telling you the truth of God rightly in its right context in an honoring, respectful way, we need to listen to God's word with the intent of obeying. That's what we see here. Remember, Sarah is following the living God. She is actually seeing things in light of the heir now. She believes the promise. She believed that him who promised was faithful. She's come along. And God says the reason why he should listen to his wife is because of the promise he had made earlier, which is reiterated, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. It's because of his word. She's telling you his word, rightly divided and the right application of it in the situation, do it, Abraham, do it. Cast out the bondwoman and the son. Why? Because the product of the flesh is not going to be the heir. For through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And we need to cast out those things that we have tried to serve Christ in. I hear it all the time in churches. Well, it's a good church. Well, they don't preach the word, but it's good. They love Jesus. Cast out the bondwoman. It's not in accord with God's word. All those things. There's so many different applications. And we have this same reality here, proving and showing that God is sovereign over the circumstance. In Romans chapter 9, we have the same portion quoted. Turn there right now to Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul uses this statement in Romans 9 when he is addressing the possible accusation that God's word has failed because Israel is in unbelief. God had made all these promises about Israel, but Israel's in the current state of unbelief. How could that be? Did God's word fail? He's going to say, no, it didn't. But Israel failed, obviously, because they didn't come by faith, by the promise. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. That's our quote, right? That is, not through the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come and Sarah will have a son. Those who believe the truth of God concerning the seed which would come, Jesus Christ, are children of the promise and children of God. Israel initially tried to get to the Lord by their own wisdom, strength, and ability and righteousness. And they are thus children of the flesh. They are not true believers. The point would be that God brings forth and chooses whom he desires. So back to our passage. This is amazing. When you have gone your own way in the flesh, trying to accomplish the will of God, and God has confronted the reality and the results of what you've done, you may think it's wrong. But let him confront your thinking. Stop rationalizing in your head. Let the word of God confront your thinking. Abraham did, as we'll see, because he obeyed the Lord. Will you today? Some of you have made fleshy decisions. I hear people say, I'm not going to come to this study because of this or that. That's a fleshy decision. Obey the Lord. I've heard people say, I'm not going to do this or that. I'm going to be in a relationship with this certain person. But it's not of the Lord. Well, they love the Lord, but you can tell they don't. Cast it out. There's all kinds of illustrations. Cut it off. Let God's word confront your thinking and repent and do the right thing. Trust the Lord. And notice God encourages him, even in the midst of this difficulty. Verse 13. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. God is making it clear that if Abraham does what is right, he's going to take care of the situation. He's going to take care of it. Stop leaning on your own understanding and your own wisdom. Trust the Lord and do what God's word says. Let it confront your thinking. Here God says, hey, I'm going to keep my previous promise concerning Ishmael. I'm going to keep it. Back in chapter 17, you can read that. He had promised that he would make him a father, multiply him exceedingly, make him a father of 12 princes, and make him a great nation. And he's telling Abraham, guess what, Abraham? Trust me. Do what is right, and I'll fulfill my word. Trust the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let his word confront your thinking. Do what is right. Trust in him with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We got to learn from this. If you're coming to this church and you've been in Genesis here and you don't get this, there's something wrong. Now, we're going to fail. It doesn't mean we don't fail, but we got to get this. We got to get this. Again, I have tons of examples of all sorts of things concerning church and ministry and home life and kids and family relationships, money, anxiety. You know, people say, well, this is how I deal with stress or anxiety. They'll say, I've got to do this. I've got to have that. Cast out the bondwoman righteously and rightly. Let the Lord confront your thinking. Abraham did. Notice what he does. Verse 14. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water. Wow, this is amazing. It was evil in his sight. God said, don't let it be evil in his sight. Now he is obeying. It's amazing. This is a man of faith. When he hears God's word, he pushes down his thinking and allows God's word to renew his mind like a true believer. Took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. He cast out the bondwoman. He obeyed the Lord. How hard would that obedience be? And by the way, he wouldn't be in the situation if he hadn't sinned to start with, by the way. Let's remember that. The pain that he is having wouldn't have been there at all if he hadn't have gone into Hagar, right? But God is gracious. And how excruciating this must be. And when you've failed in the flesh and you need to make decisions that are right, there are relationships that may be broken. You need to do what's right. Whether you've been dating someone who you know is not right, you know they're not following the Lord totally as you think, you've got to cast it out. You've got to say no. You've got to stop. Whatever it might be, there's all kinds of applications. It may be painful. But do what is right. Let God confront your heart, confess it, and do what is right. Abraham obeys. And I want to ask you, what area do you need to obey the Lord in? Where is he convicting you today that you have leaned on your own understanding, you have trusted in your own feelings and wisdom and understanding? Whether it's ministry, relationship, work, whatever it is, raising kids, whatever it is. Where is God saying to you, cast out the bondwoman? Now again, I want to share a caveat. Don't make a foolish decision. If it contradicts God's word, then it's not God saying that specifically, right? It's in the context of not relying in the flesh anymore, confessing that, and if need be, breaking those relationships which are wrong in God's sight and stepping forward righteously. So Abraham obeys. What area do we need to obey the Lord, and where do you need to obey the Lord? So as we finish up, the narrative goes pretty quickly at this point. Notice he sent her away, and then the end of verse 14, and she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. There's a lot of symbolism in here, obviously, with their lives. She's wandering about. Beersheba is the southern Negev area. It's a wilderness area. It's not a desert. It's not like the Sahara Desert, but it's a wilderness area, the southern portion of Israel. It is near the area where, obviously, Abraham had settled. We saw back with the situation with Abimelech. And so they're wandering. And notice what happens. They run out of water, verse 15. And the water in the skin was used up. And she left the boy under one of the bushes. And she went and sat down opposite him, verse 16, about a bow shot away. For she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. So you got 16-year-old Mr. Mocker who is now dying of thirst. A consequence, by the way, of his mocking was to be cast out righteously by God's will. Okay? And he's dying of thirst. And she sits opposite him about a bow shot away. She doesn't want to see him die. She's weeping. And notice what happens. Verse 17, and God heard the lad crying. By the way, the name Ishmael means the Lord hears. Remember that? The Lord hears. For Abraham's sake, we see he hears. And he hears the lad. He doesn't hear Hagar in this context. He hears the lad crying. And the angel of God, this is speaking not of an angel, but the messenger of God, because later on it's going to be attributed to the Lord saying he would make him a great nation. So it's God who hears. Angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. God hears. God has heard. Now, if you'll remember, back in 16, God had promised Hagar that the boy would be a wild donkey of a man with his brothers. Those promises of him being adult, she has forgotten that. She thinks he's going to die. What's the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear. Why, God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. The Lord hears. This is God's grace. He's the child of the flesh. He's a mocker, and God is being gracious. God is very gracious. You know, when you make the right decision to do the right thing, trust the Lord with the consequences. Obey the Lord. Leave the relationships in His hands. Do the right thing. God is gracious. And notice He tells Hagar, verse 19, arise, lift the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. That was His promise basically earlier back in chapter 16. And the Lord reveals this, for I will make a great nation. I, that's the angel of God. It's not an angel, it's the messenger of God. It's the Lord calling from heaven. And then notice what happens. Verse 19, then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled her skin with water and gave the lad a drink. The Lord is faithful. He is gracious. Stop thinking of all the consequences of what will happen if you obey the Lord and do the right thing. If you're in a bad church, get out of that bad church. Stop worrying about the relationships. Do the right thing. If you're in a bad relationship, get out of that relationship. Stop worrying about the consequences. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And notice, as we close here, it seems as though Ishmael's life possibly foreshadows the life of unbelieving Israel, who would be in slavery. Remember that analogy back in Galatians? That Ishmael, in that sense, and was really the child of the flesh, in a sense, and Israel at the current time is acting the same way in opposition to those who are saved. Verse 20, and God was with the lad, and he grew. That's grace. That's grace for Abraham's sake. Remember, he promised Abraham he would make him great. And he lived in the wilderness. That seems interesting. And he became an archer. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran. That's near Mount Sinai, which is very interesting. And his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And I can't say this for sure, but it seems like the life of Ishmael here reflects the life of the unbelieving nation Israel, or foreshadows things that they would do. They would be of the flesh, as related to Mount Sinai. They would wander, and they would certainly, we see in Ezekiel 23, continually rely on Egypt and be involved in trusting man rather than God. Either way, God is gracious. God is gracious. I began speaking of how there's a battle going on in every true believer's life between trusting in our own wisdom and relying on the living God. How are we to deal with the failures of our flesh? Or how are we to keep from yielding in those areas? We need to understand the flesh and the spirit don't coexist. You can't trust your flesh and walk with the Lord. It doesn't work that way. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. We need to stop relying on the flesh and cast it out when we recognize we have. We need to set it apart. We need to stop relying on our own wisdom, understanding, and abilities. We need to let God's Word confront our thinking and obey and obey. And trust Him with the details, and He will fulfill His promises that He has made. Where are you today? Is your heart hostile towards those who trust God, who trust the Lord? It may be in evidence you don't know the living God. Maybe in evidence, if you've trusted in yourself, your own wisdom, your own ways, maybe you don't know Christ. God is gracious. He sent His Son Jesus to die for your sins. And if you'll turn to Him and repent and believe in Jesus, He will save you. What about us believers? We need to understand we can't walk by the flesh and the spirit at the same time. Are there any areas that God is saying, cast out the bondwoman?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. God is challenging us from His Word today to examine our lives and see if there are any areas that we've compromised or otherwise submitted to our flesh. If we find any of these areas, God's Word is clear. We need to cast it out.
You've nailed it, Dave. So then, brothers and sisters, how are we to deal with our failures in the flesh? Cast it out Start by confessing your sin to God and then change course in obedience to His word. And this may be quite difficult depending on the situation. I'm not going to minimize that. But trust the Lord through His correction and His forgiveness, and then you will reap the joy of walking in right fellowship with Him as God brings your life back together in a way that glorifies Him.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.